Shasaf. This is like you know, the standard type of year where Parsha Sav is Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is Parsha Sav, and there are indeed a lot of Ramazim in the Parsha that allude, that very much relate to Shabbos HaGadol in the Parsha, in the Kriyas HaTorah. Very first thing, for example, is the very first Rashi. The very first Rashi addresses something which affects most people in Klal Yisrael. Don't be misled by the 1% that's living a very different type of life of luxury and wealth and where money is not an issue. For most people that I know, at least, maybe I'm living in the wrong world, money is an issue. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Even rich people, money is an issue, just at a different level.
Tsar, that this year we were not able to fly in we were not able to go on a private jet. We had to go fly on commercial. Oy. So there's a way to kasha that. You just say you're a machal. When people can't afford to fly a private jet, they say, we did it for the environment. Money is the root of not all evil, most evil. Not all evil.
But it's sure.
Okay, oh, money, okay, everyone's willing to take on that nisayon, that's the chilek. Money, everyone is willing to take on the nisayon of having too much money, that's not an issue. Okay, but Abayi say, Erev Pesach, the average person, the average family feels a lot of pain in the pocketbook. That's a reality. That's the reality of the average person. I know there are people that don't, but this is not new. This has been going on for generations. From time immemorial, Pesach is a very expensive holiday. It is. To go buy a piece of bread for almost $40 a pound, I mean, this is absurd. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, and obviously it's a time when people take advantage, and the prices, you know, with inflation, it's beyond belief. And we see Klal Yisrael does incredible chesed. The amount of tzedakah people give is astonishing. But it's a fact. It's a fact of life that Pesach is very expensive. The very first Rashi, it's usually in the regular year, Parsha Sav is Shabbos HaGadol. It is a Shabbos that brings us into the Yom Tov of Pesach. And the Parsha is Vayidar Hashem Moshe Leimar. Tzav! Es Aaron v'es banav leimar. Why does it say the word tzav? Why does it say the word tzav? So Rashi says, "Ein tzav ela l'shoin zerus miyod uledoyres." First thing Rashi says in this pasuk is, we have to imagine Rashi, make believe this is not true what I'm saying, but make believe Rashi was writing this. Rashi was a leader. Rashi was a Rosh HaYeshiva. He had a yeshiva in France. He studied in Germany. He grew up in France. He went to Germany to study. He came back. He opened up a yeshiva. Rashi certainly had on his shoulders the enormous pressure of dealing with balabatim that need money, need parnasa. I remember once a certain Rashiva, someone told me what was he doing the whole week before Pesach? Non-stop on the phone, literally non-stop on the phone, raising money, negotiating with people who have hotel programs to take in families for free who are having a nervous breakdown, to take them in nonstop the week before Pesach on the phone with all of his very well-connected person, raising money, distributing money, and begging people for favors to help other people. Incredible. You think a Rashiv sit and learn the whole day? It's not the way it works. The people who are in these positions of leadership, they don't have time to learn. They deal the whole day with horrors and incredible things that's on their shoulders. So L'chai Rashi was no different. Rashi was a manik, and Rashi, I'm telling you it's not true, it's Erev Pesach. And what does Rashi say? Oh, Gevalt, what it cost, what people need to get through Pesach, what were the expectation, this, that, you know, you can write out books and books about what's going on. And Rashi comes to write down, oh, it's Parsha Sav this week, Shabbos HaGadol. It says Tzav. What does Tzav mean? This commandment is not just for this generation, it's for all generations. When Hashem says to Moshe, tell Aaron, let me tell you about the laws of Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, one element of Trumas Hadeshen, the first mitzvah in Parsha Sav is, in the morning, you go out to the Mizbeach, and you take the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, and you deposit it in front of the ram. Okay, that's not important what the mitzvah is. And this mitzvah of removing the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, it's not just in the desert. This is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen applies for all future generations. That's what Rashi says. Ein tzav ela l'shoin zeiruz miyod in the desert uledoros. This mitzvah will apply all generations. Next words of Rashi. Omar Rebbe Shimon b'yoyser tzorech hakosav l'zorez b'mokoyim sheyesh boi cheshoin kis. Whenever there's a loss of money, then you also have to use the word tzav. You have to emphasize. And what he's saying is, in addition to what it says over here, in the pasuk gimel and dalid, the third and fourth pasuk, but in pasuk beis it talks about bringing a carbon oila. Now, in order to have deshen, you have to have a carbon. This is the law of the ha'oila.
Where is the chesron kis?
An oila, no one gets to eat. It's completely consumed on the fire. So you would say, what a waste of money. If you go bring a carbon, to how you bring a carbon, okay, I got to give the koyein the chozev v'shoik. Hashem gets the chelev, so I don't get to eat it. Gets the chelev, and the blood goes on the mizbeach. All right, you know, if a person wasn't Jewish, he would eat the chelev, he would eat the dam, and he would keep the hide of the animal for himself, and wouldn't give the koyein nothing. So now that I'm a Yid, and I want to bring a sacrifice, I have an animal! Oh, carbon! So what do you give away? The hide is going to go to the Kohanim. The Chozev Shoik goes to the Kohanim. That's a lot of money. And the blood goes on the Mizbeach, and the fats are also burned on the Mizbeach. So what's left? What's left? There's a nice amount of meat that's left. There's a nice chelik that's left. So I get something from it also. So here I have an animal. It's worth $1,000. If the person was a goy, then the entire $1,000 would go in his stomach. They drink blood. They eat chelev. They'll take the hide. They'll make a carpet. They'll make a rug, a mat for their house. Every little part of the animal they'll end up using. They'll maximize the profits. The profits on this animal. $1,000 animal. I'm going to squeeze out $1,000 worth of value. But now that I'm a Yid, so what do I got to do with it? Blood, mizbeach, fats, fire. Chozev v'shoy koyhanim. The hides, koyhanim. So what's left for me? I have no idea what the numbers are. Let's make believe $500. Make believe $500. I take home with me $500 worth of meat. I'll eat it. I'll give it to my family, whatever it is. And Shalom al Yisrael, 500. No, I gave away $500. It costs money to be a Yid. So I gave away, but I get at least $500. But when you bring a carbon oila and you take that $1,000 animal, what do you take home with you? What do you take home with you? Nothing. Zero. When the day is over, you walk home with nothing. $1,000 out of your bank account. You swipe the card, finished, gone. The animal is offered on the Mizbeach, the Kohanim get the skin, and the whole animal is burnt. Burnt, the dam, the chelev, and the basar burnt on the fire. You walk home with nothing. What would a person in his mind say? What do I need this for? A loss of money, get nothing out of it? Tzav. When a person is a chesaron kis, you have to say, listen, you're going to lose a lot of money, but you're doing it l'shem shemayim, it's a carbon oila, you come close to Hashem, v'chulu v'chulu, tzav. That is the end of this Rashi. There's a colon, that is the end of this statement, and then Rashi goes on to discuss a new topic. Two completely different concepts are presented in the very first Rashi of this pasuk. Ein tzav, ela, l'shoin zeruz miyad uledoros. Number two, Amar Rabbi Shimon. You know why it says tzav? B'yoyzer tzorech hakosav l'zoriz b'mokom sheyesh boi chesaron kis. It's expensive. This Rashi is the Rashi it opens up Shabbos HaGadol in a regular year. You know why? Because when it comes to Pesach, people can easily say, you know, I work very hard. No one gives me freebies. I don't have any entitlements. And now comes this holiday, and it's just a fortune. And everyone is taking advantage of me. Every yokel on the street is taking advantage of me. Is it really worth it? Is this really the way to go? What am I? You don't have a choice, right? It's highway robbery. What are you going to do? So Rashi over here is coming to give you a nechama. And he's telling you, what is Pesach really all about? Pesach is about the future. Pesach is about the banim. Ma nishtana halayla hazem mikol halaylas. Children, the grandchildren, it's the night that your children and grandchildren will remember forever. Everyone over here remembers their family Pesach Seder. Everyone. Forced to have grandparents, you remember your grandparents, you remember what it was like. It's a special moment. It's a special, it puts your whole life in a completely different perspective, a completely different trajectory. You don't realize how delicate your mind is, and the tzura of your parents and grandparents on the night of Pesach has an enormous effect on the choices you make in life. The Pesach Seder is the future of your children. You don't maybe even realize how much it affects them. And there's a rule, the way Hashem made this world. When you invest in the future, it's expensive. It costs a lot of money. Okay? The future costs money. You go to a restaurant, you want to go buy something, the food goes in your stomach, out the stomach, so how much are you going to pay to have a good meal? You're going to pay $50, $100, $200. You want to go college tuition? You're dealing with $200,000. The future is expensive. That's how it is. When you invest in the future to build for yourself a future, it's expensive. These two statements of Rashi are really two sides of the same coin. Even though this parasha deals with the Korban Olah, and the first halacha is the Trumas HaDeshen, but it's Erev Pesach. And people have a lot of things on their mind. Not everyone is able to concentrate on all the intricate details about pigul, chutz l'mekoymei, chutz l'zmanoi, and know the chilik between the osham. The osham, if you not take it l'ri'ya, before the shechita, after shechita, the intricate details that Rashi presents here in the sugya, not everyone knows all these. It's Erev Pesach. The very first Rashi is there are two concepts. There is doiros, and there is money, chesaron kis. And the emes is, when you're dealing with doiros, there's a chesaron kis. It's expensive. And don't complain. Don't. I mean, you can complain. I'm not saying don't complain. You can complain. I complain. You can complain, but that's life. And tzav, you need chizuk. This time of the year, these two concepts are intertwined. They're two sides. They're two sides of the same coin. All right, let's go to another idea. Another idea. In this week's part, we learn right away about the very first sugya of Trumas Hadeshen. Every single morning, Rashi describes very beautifully the Hedemes Hadeshen Asher Toichal Ho'esh Es Ho'ilo Al HaMizbeach V'Samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. So Rashi says, what do you do in the morning? The kohen goes up to the mizbeach, and he takes a shovel, and he pushes aside the ash, and he looks for pure ash. Okay, pure ash, meat that has been thoroughly consumed, and he moves the shovel here and there to find coals that are mu'ucholos, that are thoroughly consumed. And then what does he do? Let me read the words of Rashi. Rashi says, "V'heirem es hadeshen ha'yachoise miloy hamachta." He would stir with the shovel min ha'meucholos ha'pnimiyos, from the coals, the center coals. Then what would he do? V'noisnon, he would then take that shovel, descend from the mizbeach, and deposit them in the azara, b'mizrochoy shel Kevesh, on the east side of the ramp. Now, the east side is where everyone gets to see, because when you walk in, you walk in to the Azara, you walk into the Mikdash. The west is on the other side, where you can't, you're blocked, your view is blocked of what's taking place on the west. You put the deposit of ash in front of the ramp on the east side, which basically is in full view of anyone who walks into the Azara, can see that there's a pile of ash on the floor in front of the ramp. Now, the pasuk says, Vissamo, you shall deposit this very carefully. The word sum, Mefarshim always explain, it means with very, very, with precision. Where? Eitzel HaMizbeach. What does it mean near the Mizbeach? Rashi tells us, based on Chazal and Taras Kehanim, the ramp. Don't just put it in front of the Mizbeach. There are many parts. The Mizbeach has many, many parts. No, the ramp. B'mizrochai, not just by the ramp, in front of the ramp, where everyone can see it. Like it's on the side, on the east, everyone can see it. Why? What my high? You want to do Tumas Adeshen? Do Tumas Adeshen. What's the Indian of piling the ash in the Azara? In the Azara, take it out. Take it out. Don't know you want it to be clean in the Azara. No. A small amount of ash, you know, when it gets too big, Rashi says, when it gets too big, then you take out all the ash out to the Beis Hadeshen. But every morning, in Truma, you have to put some ash in the Azara, on the floor, in front of the ramp. My high. So I want to say something very, very simple. What is the ramp all about? What is the symbolism of the Kevesh? Leisale b'malois al mizbechi v'lo sigole ervoscha olaf. Don't uncover your nakedness in the Azara. Do not ascend to the Mizbeach on steps. Do not ascend on steps. Now, what does it mean? There are different interpretations as to what the pasuk means. The simple interpretation is don't disgrace the Mizbeach or the Azara. If a person walks in a way, now, we don't really appreciate this because we're not so sensitive to these concepts of tzinius. But if we would be sensitive very much to this, when a person takes steps, okay, to a certain degree, he exposes himself. Whatever this means, we can understand whatever. He exposes himself to some degree. It's not nice. It's not nice. Who is it not nice? Pashup Shat. It's not nice for the Mizbeach. It's not nice for the Azara. The Azara is sacred. In a place that's sacred, you don't go and behave and do things that are not proper. Aron HaKodesh is in front of us over here. You don't go and bring in to a shul certain types of materials. Okay, you don't go bring in, it's not proper to bring the New York Times. You don't see people doing that. To bring into a Beis Medrash, to sit and read the New York Times spread out in a basis. It's not what you do.
They do it with the phone.
It's right. It's a big problem. It's a tremendous problem. It's a tremendous, tremendous problem. No one, right, you really, there's no difference. There's no difference. But why do the people didn't get away with it? Okay, but back in the olden days, let's go back to Shem Kamonios. Would someone bring into a shul the New York Times and sit and open it up and read it? You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. It's not something you do. Okay, you'll say you bring in the Jewish press. Okay, a little bit better. At least it says on the Jewish on the top. All right. Everyone is different, to each his own. There are different madrigas, but everyone can appreciate that there are certain things you don't do in shul. Everyone has their standards, their threshold. Okay, some people, you don't want to bring in a phone. Oh, you bring, just to bring in a phone, even if it's not connected. This is mamisha, an object of a sheketz for tuma. We've all seen this. Different strokes for different folks. But everyone, the common denominator is, everyone in their mind has a certain thing you don't do. So walking in a certain way where you're exposing yourself, you're doing something that is disgraceful of exposing yourself in a holy location. That's, I think, the Pashup Shah, I think that's what Rashi says. However, there are other perushim. And that means when we're not so sensitive, when you walk in this fashion, you're embarrassed. There is shame. There is shame. If a person, a healthy person, a normal healthy person who's not dressed, who's naked is embarrassed. Right? It says that in the Pasuk. It says by Adam and Chava, it says by Adam and Chava, v'lo yisboi shoshu, when they, before the chait, and after the chait, they appreciated ki erumim, they were naked. And what did they do? They covered their body. A normal, healthy person who is not dressed is embarrassed. And that embarrassment would prevent him or give up his life not to uncover himself. Oh, but there are crazy people out there today that have no shame. I don't know what to say. This is an illness. It's mamish, a mental illness for a person not to be embarrassed to be uncovered. There's no pride in being naked. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says Adam and Chava realized that they were now uncovered and they covered themselves. Ale te'ena, Hashem made them kosnos or. So this is what is normal. I know today it may be a little bit hard to appreciate this because we live in a world that unfortunately has issues, but that's Pasha Pshat. So the male, if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're taking giant steps, taking steps, and by doing so, you're uncovering yourself. You will be embarrassed. So what will you say? It's Kedai. If I have to get to the Mizbeach, I'm wearing a certain type of clothing, which is prone to allow myself to be exposed to some degree, and that's the only way I can get to the Mizbeach, it's Kedai. It's Kedai to take one for the team. I should be mevaze myself. I should be mevaze myself, go up the stairs, and I'll be a little bit exposed. And I remember on Avenue J, when they put in a staircase outside, outside by the train station, by the Avenue J train station. Okay, it must have been about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more. So no, everyone remembers the old train station. They made some upgrades and they put outside on the other side of the street a staircase. And if you look at the staircase, the city designed it in such a way where it's like, I guess it's stainless steel and it should not collect garbage. So all of, even though the steps are flat, but the siding is all porous, has these big, big holes. And I was walking with someone when they were basically almost finished, and they said, this is disgusting. When you walk up the steps, someone that's watching, people walk up the steps, can mamash see, you know, a woman who's wearing a dress. It's terrible. It's not sneeristic. And even for men, you see them walking from underneath. Okay, different levels of sneers. Okay, you know, I don't really, whatever, men, you'll say big deals. No, there's no problem. But you appreciate the concept. No, the Kohan, they wore different types of clothing. What they wore pants, so they look. But this person was a very sensitive person. He says it's not. This is disgusting. You have a staircase in public, and from underneath the staircase, you walk in the street, you can see people walking up, and everything is completely open, and you can see them from underneath as they walk up the steps. It's not tznius. Amazing, huh? That's what the Torah says. L'sale b'malos al mizuz. Oh, but the mikdash, it would have been a closed staircase. Okay. Obviously, the different madregos, pun intended, madregos in bar. But the person, though, this person that said this to me, he wouldn't walk up the staircase. Because the same way he looks at the people walking up and he can see them from that side, he would be embarrassed to walk up the staircase. Because he's a healthy, normal person. And when a healthy, normal person is exposed in public, it's an embarrassment. So you may make a mistake and think that when it comes to bring a korban to Hashem, so it's kedai to suffer busha, to bring a korban to Hashem. So be it. The Torah says no. L'sale b'malos al mizbechi v'lo sigol ervos cholav. You know why? I don't want you to be embarrassed. If you have to make a sacrifice for me, you sacrifice with dignity. Dignity. When you sacrifice, when you go and you light the candles of the menorah, or the neiros of the menorah, there are steps. Torah? The Torah, you go up steps. That's right. To learn Torah, you can be embarrassed. You can be embarrassed. V'lo ha-baishan lomed. Ferisha Mishnah. When it comes to the menorah, which represents Torah, v'lo ha-baishan lomed. If you're going to be embarrassed, ask the question and say, what a fool, you're going to get nowhere. That's right. When you go and you lie, that's right. You should be embarrassed to teach you v'lo ha'bayi shalom. But when you make a sacrifice for Hashem, there's no busha. I don't want there to be busha. What do you do in the morning? In the morning, you take ash. So the whole purpose of a kevesh represents human dignity. Human dignity. That's what the kevesh is for. Not to be embarrassed. V'losigoler v'oscha olav. What does a person do? Person earned $1,000. He brings a carbon. What do you say about the carbon? Really, I should be the carbon. I did an avera. I should say, so I'm going to make believe I'm the carbon. And then what happens? They bring the carbon. They bring it up. They burn it up, burn the mizbech, and they burn it to a crisp. And then the next day, they take the ash down and they put it on the floor of the azara. Someone walks in and says, look at that guy. Remember that the animal is you. The animal is you. That's what you do. Really, I should bring a human myself as your sacrifice. Hashem, you don't want it, so instead, zeh tumurasi, zeh chalifasi, zeh hakarbon yelech on the mizbech, and I'm going to go out with kapara. The carbon is you. What a humiliation. Here I am. I'm the greatest of the great. There's no one greater and smarter, more brilliant, and more successful than me. And look at the bizyonis. Here I am the next day. I'm ash. I'm a pile of ash lying on the floor of the azara, and people are stepping all over me. What a humiliation. What a humiliation. The whole reason why you have a ramp is I should not be humiliated. And now look at this. Now I'm humiliated. I'm humiliated. The Kohen wasn't humiliated when he went up the ramp. Okay, the Kohen, the Torah says, don't be humiliated. But I'm humiliated. That animal represents me. And instead of me sitting on top of the world like I deserve it because I'm the greatest and the best, the smartest, the richest, everything, v'chulu v'chulu, I turn into ash. The Torah says, put the ash near the ramp. The ramp is a symbol of no busha. And the message is, there is no shame in humbling yourself before Hashem. There is no shame. The ash, the animal is a beautiful animal, it represents me. It's slaughtered. It is pulverized. It's ash. It's a humbling experience. I turn into ash. I'm humiliated. Put the ash etzel hamizbeach, Rashi from the Torah Kohanim, b'mizrochoy shel kevesh, the ramp, which is a symbol of v'loy sigale ervoscha olav. I don't want there to be humiliation. I don't want there to be humiliation in this world. Put it on the east side so everyone can see, not on the west side. It is a statement to the person who brought the carbon. There is nothing to be ashamed of. It's not the pshat, okay, this busha, but it's kedai. It's kedai for me to go and suffer humiliation in order to give cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you bring a carbon, it's not that there is humiliation, I accept it. This is not an act of humiliation. This is an act of pride for a person to humble himself and declare himself to be ofar, tachas, the feet of Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is the hadoim raglov, is the footstool of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Mokom HaShoras HaShechina. And here you are, you're ash. You brought a carbon. The carbon is you. The carbon has been, its life has been taken. It has been turned into ash. And it's now being placed on the ground of the Azara, which means it is, Hashem is stepping on my ash. I'm humiliated. Tell this person, look where the ash is. It's in front of the ramp. The ramp is the symbol of this world, that Hashem does not want humiliation in this world. He doesn't want humiliation. And Hashem, by putting the ash, is telling you that this is not humiliation. This is your tafkid in this world. Your tafkid in this world is to humble yourself before the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an act of pride. when the kohen goes up, I don't want him to be humiliated. He's not the karbon, the kohen. The kohen's not the karbon. He's doing the avodah. When you bring a karbon, you do an act of, you have to do it with pride. You think now that because you're Asher, no. The same way the kohen, there's no humiliation. This is also not a humiliation because this is the tafkid of Klal Yisrael. All right, running out of time. Let me jump over a little bit to Shabbos HaGadol. There's a lot more to talk about. I'll tell you one more very quick before we go to Shabbos HaGadol. And Rashi over here says about the clothing. Ufoshat es bigodav velovash bigodim achirim. After the kohen does the truma sadeshni, he should put on new clothing. So Rashi says, why do you have to change clothing? Big day kahuna. Teretz says, no. There are different qualities of big day kahuna. When you do the truma sadeshen, it's messy. Don't wear your best. When you do avoida, you wear your best. The different garments. When you take out the garbage, you don't wear your best. You wear truma sadeshen, it's messy. You wear lesser quality garments, old garments, and when you do other types of service, you wear better clothing. And then Rashi goes on to give a mashal. And the mashal is you have a servant in the home, and he works in the kitchen, and then he serves the master. So when he's in the kitchen cooking the food, he wears an apron, he wears sneakers, he wears a chveis, he wears different types of clothing. But then when it's time to serve the meal, and he pours his moizgin loikoy shel rabbi, he puts on beautiful garments. When you come in contact with your master in public, and you on your moizeg the kois, then you wear more beautiful clothing. Rashi over here says his words are shlo yilachlech beitzas adeshim begodim shumisham tamid begodim shebi shel bohen kedero l'rabbi. Al yimzoig bohen kois l'rabbi. The clothing you wear when you cook in the kitchen, where it's messy, for your master, are not the same clothing you wear when you dilute a cup of wine, you pour a glass of wine for your master. Al yimzoig bohen kois l'rabbi. So I want to suggest that derech drush, being the parish of Shabbos, is always the parish of Shabbos HaGadol in a regular year. The age-old question, many people, not everyone, but many people have a custom to wear a kittel at the Seder. And many people are scratching their heads, where did this minhag come from? And there are many, 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 many answers to this question. Many answers. But here is an answer I want to suggest, which I didn't see anywhere, is because when you drink the Dalit Kaisais, Moizgin like Kais Rishon, Moizgin like Kais Sheni, Moizgin like Kais Shlishon, Moizgin like Kais Revi, the Dalit Kaisais, Who are you being moizgin loy? For yourself, I have a chi of dal kaisis. But the emes is, we all know that you're doing this l'chvoid ribayin shalaylam. When you pour, or someone else pours for you, a glass of wine, to be mekayim the dal kaisis, it's l'chvoid ribayin shalaylam. So when it's moizgin loy, you're really being moizik for Hashem. You don't wear your ordinary clothing. The clothing you wear on a regular Shabbos, on a regular day, on a regular activity, that's you're being mevashel the kedera. But the night of Pesach, the avarti be eretz Mitzrayim b'alaz, ani v'loy malch, ani v'loy saraf, ani v'loy shlich, ani hu v'loy acher, the ribono shel olam is present. The whole year you're in the kitchen, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is outside, you don't see him. Hashem is everywhere. On Pesach, the Lel Seder, the Ribbono Shel Olam is right in front of you. You can't come to the Seder wearing the same clothing you wear the whole year round, wearing your fancy suit. You have to wear better clothing. In the world of Ruchnius, what's the best you got? What's the best you got in the world of Ruchnius? The clothing you wore on Yom Kippur. The holy clothing. The kittel. The kittel is a holy garment. Okay? Tachrichin. Yom Kippur. Under the chuppah. Holy clothing. Because the night of Lel Pesach is the night of Moizgin Loikois. You can't wear the same clothing the Lel Pesach when you're moisgin four cups lechvayr Hashem like what you do when you're in the kitchen cooking and you're serving Hashem in other ways. When you serve Hashem the whole year round, it's like you're in the kitchen and you're making preparations. Okay, let's now go for a few moments to Shabbos Hagadol.
There's a sefer I saw, a medieval sefer, that says that the person should be machlif his begodim lekovit Shabbos.
Should what? Machlif delice. To delice.
Different clothes.
Right.
But if he doesn't have new clothes for Shabbos, then he should put on a garment. It's written in medieval Latin or Spanish. And when I inquired, what does it mean? They said a kittel. That's the origin of a kittel.
Wow. Fascinating.
It's an evil sefer. And if you ask Sfardim what word they use for kittel, that's a medieval word that's found that they would, like a person who didn't have big day Shabbos is told to put on that's the origin of the kittel. It's in the medieval sefer.
Beautiful. All right, running out of time very quickly, so let me just jump, cut to the chase. Let's go right now to Shabbos Hagadol. Age-old question: why is this week called Shabbos Hagadol?
And not Gedolah.
That's good. Good point. Good point. Shabbos Hagadol, right? Not Gedolah, right? Grammatically, true. Shabbos is both ways. Okay, but why is it Shabbos? So I would imagine if we go around the room, we hear a different answer from everyone. There are probably 100 answers, right? At least 100 answers why. Pashup Shad is because of the Haftorah. Hinei Anochi Shaleichem Eis Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGodol VeHanoira. Pashup Shad, that's why it's called Shabbos HaGodol, because of that pasuk.
Doesn't matter.
Correct. Okay, it's right. Okay, but the pasuk says Yom HaGodol. That's Pashup Shat. I know there are many, many, many more answers. Let's try to suggest something different. Famous Gemara Masechta Megillah, time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, time when they came time to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. Okay, not at the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, not 420 years later. When they came to build, the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyla, they made an observation. And the observation is that they said in davening that Hashem is Okel, HaGodol, HaGibor, the Hanoira. Three things. Four things. Kel, Godol, Gibor, no, let's focus on the three words. Godol, Gibor, and Noira. And they observe that this Tekufa, Klal Yisrael is not doing too well. We're not exactly, everyone's favorite nation. Aye, Noira Yisaf. Where is the Noira? Where do you see in this world that Hashem is awesome? However you want to translate this word. So they said, strike it from the text. They ordered art scroll. If anyone has an art scroll, sit from that time, it's priceless. Get an art scroll, sit from the time of the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah where they deleted the word Noira. Yeah, you have a collector's edition of that sitter. They took out the word Hakel, HaGodol, HaGibor, and the word Noira was not in the text. And then they had another meeting and they says, Aye Givur Oysaf. Art scroll, strike it from the text, a new edition was put out. All the others were confiscated, censored. Hakel HaGodol. And then they came along and they says, oh, we made a mistake. That's why they called the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyla. Why are they called Gedoyla? It's because they said, you know what, we're going to restore Machzir Atara Lyoshna. No, what changed? Nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed. It's just a matter of frame of mind. Where is Hashem's Noiroisov? The very fact that the Jewish people survive despite the fact that the whole world is trying to destroy them, hein hein no yosef. The fact that the Jewish people survive, I don't remember all the words of the Gemara, I'm very, very weak, but the fact that we're still around, hein hein givu roisav, Hashem givu, Hashem that holds back, that's what the Gemara says, that even though the goyim anger Hashem, and Hashem is able to control his fury, and doesn't obliterate them for what they've done to us, wow, a zehu gibor, HaKoivesh Es Yitzra, Hashem is furious, fuming, and man, charo enough at the world, what they've done to Klal Yisrael, and Hashem, Koivesh Es Yitzra, Hein, Hein, Givu Roisav, and they made a public announcement, everyone should restore the Nusach to its original state of Gibor, of Noira, HaKel HaGodol, HaGibor VeHaNoira. And if I'm not mistaken, that's in fact why they're called Godol. Because the greatness of coming to acknowledge Hein Hein Noi Roisav, Hein Hein Givu Roisav. Now I have a question to ask you. Before they came around to see the light of Hein Hein Noi Roisav, Hein Hein Givu Roisav, before they came to that realization, why didn't they also delete from the Nusach Godol? The Jewish people are in exile. There's massive, massive assimilation taking place. They're making parties to celebrate our destruction. And we're also celebrating these parties, our own churban. Hashem is Godol. Hashem is Godol. They came to the conclusion that there's no Noira and there's no Givura. So why didn't the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, when they were in this initial frame of mind of censoring or deleting the Nusach HaTfilah, why didn't they also strike out the word Godol? Why not? Why not? I don't have a good answer. There's no mention in the Gemara anywhere there was ever a Hava Amina to take out the word Godol. That they never, obviously, it has to be, that despite the fact that the Jewish people are mired in the mud, they're in the lowest possible state they can possibly be, you still cannot deny the fact that Hashem is Godol. Hashem is great. By the way, what does Godol mean? Hashem gives. Hashem gives, like Yaseh the Shemon Eshrei. Hakel, the whole, we can't go through now, the Shemon Eshrei, it's a perish on the words. Godol, Gibor, V'Noira. Godol always means to be generous. To be generous. So even though... Am Chesed, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, there's a lot of Torah on this. Godol means generosity, to give. So Chazal, obviously, we don't know, you know, it's hard for us to really appreciate what life was like. But even though, in their understanding, there's no Noira, and there was no obvious Gevura, but Hashem was Godol. Hashem, we're here. The sun still shines. The Godol, people have what to eat. If we're here today, so they must have what to eat. They must have what to eat, because if they would have starved dead, we would have been dead. We wouldn't have survived, right? We would still survive. They had yesterday in the press conference, in the White House, is where, what's his name? Dorsey? How do I pronounce his name? Always forget everything. One of the people who actually said to the press secretary, he says, "Is the United States aware that 100 experts?" Ducey, he said, "Is the United States aware of anything? Is that there are many experts in computers have said that if we don't stop the advancement of artificial intelligence, every living person will die." Go look up that clip. Every living artificial intelligence will soon gain awareness. That's what he said. Yeah. The professor will gain awareness and we're all going to die. They're going to take over, we're all going to die. And they all started laughing. And they all started talking about the drama. Really, we're all going to die. Artificial intelligence is going to result in the computers becoming aware and they will then take over the world and kill us all. We're all going to die. Okay, obviously... We didn't all die then. We didn't all die then. We survived. We survived in much more difficult times. And Chazal said, keep on saying the word Godol. Don't delete the word. They never had a Hava Amina to delete the word Godol. Gibor and Noira, delete. Then they changed their mind. We come to Pesach. A whole year, you know, we sink into Golos mode. The whole year round, you could ask the question, Aye Noiroisav? Aye Givuroisav? This cycle repeats itself continuously. Aye Givuroisav? Where? Okay, you have to have emunah that hein Noiroisav. Hein Givuroisav. You have to have that emunah. But it's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. No, it's a good kasha. It's like I was saying at the Shabbos table, there was a guy there talking about all the conspiracy theories you could imagine, even ones you never even heard of. And at the end, and the people were laughing, some of them were laughing, and at the end, a very smart guy there said, you know, we're laughing our heads off at all these conspiracy theories, but you know, they have good kashas. They do have good kashas. Their conclusion, just because you have a kasha, doesn't mean you should go off the deep end. But you know, you have to acknowledge they have good kashas. Their terutzim are shtigl vild, but the conspiracy theorists are starke kashas. You got to deal with the kashas. Okay? It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. No, it's a good kasha. When it comes to Pesach, when you relive the Exodus, Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Olav, Derev, Shechein, Kriyas, Yamsuf, Makas, the whole story. Oh, there's Noira, and there's Gevura. Wow. Yisei, HaKel, HaGodol, HaGiba, VeHaNoira. Wow. So what is Pesach really all about? Pesach is all about being Machzir Atara Liyoshna. And what is Machzir Atara Liyoshna? Gevura and Noira. What about Godol? Godol was never a kasha. Shabbos HaGodol. You're coming now to Pesach. You know you're coming now? You're coming now to the days this week. Oh, the restoration, the Goloi of Givura and Noira. So we're going to say this week, Hakel, Hagibor, VeHanoira. What about Godol? Don't forget. Don't get swept up in all the glitter and glamour and forget about the Ikor. Godol was never an issue. Don't forget about Godol. The Shabbos, the Hakdama, to your Givura and Noira. Don't forget, before this Givura and Noira, this week, don't forget Hashem is Hakel HaGodol. Hakel HaGodol doesn't have any kasha. Doesn't need any teretz. It's always Hakel HaGodol. Never forget that Hashem is Goimel Chasodim Tovim. He provides, He sustains, He gives life. He keeps you here. Don't ever forget that. Don't get swept that Judaism is only about Gevura and Noira. Gevura and Noira, you know, it fluctuates. It's Begolui, it's Behester, you need a Muna. The Anshei Kines Agadola, they struck it from the text, they brought it back. Wanes and waxes. Godol, don't get swept away. That is Shabbos HaGodol. Before you come to the Gevura and the Noira, this week is a Shabbos to remember the Godol. The Haftarah we can't go through, but just, you know, it's interesting, this week in Jewish history, this week, let's wind down right now, was quite a week, the protests in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of news. Certain news is not worthy to even mention in this room, Baruch Hashem, I control myself to keep my mouth shut. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's an extremely disturbing event of this week. What happened in Eretz Yisrael, approximately 1.5 million people took to the streets to protest judicial reform. Okay, you live Eretz Yisrael, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, Mishpat. The Musar, and what is this? No one can argue the judicial system in Eretz Yisrael is Kneged Kol Torah Kula. You can't argue with that. Am I saying wrong? It's alahachis. No, it's one thing, this mishpat, okay, you know, many madregos. And that's what brought out the mishpat. Mishpat. Mishpat, in a type of mishpat that is from the umayis ha'olam. In their mishpat, like today I saw on the news, I saw a clip, that what happened in America, in Nashville, the Farish, the murderer, the person who took the life of six innocent people, this creature was the victim. And the people that were murdered in cold blood, they were the criminal. They were the perpetrators. They are white hate, privilege. Okay, mamish, a meshugah nevelt, and an Eretz Yisrael.
Well, that's not exactly a dominant position.
Oh yeah, just give it another week. And an Eretz Yisrael, that's the same schnitt. It's the same schnitt of the judicial system. And a whole 1.5 million Jews, it's our fault. I mean, you know, where are we to be mashpia? We have, it's a shocking thing. It's mamish. And when did this happen? This happens Erev Pesach. And what is the Haftarah? The Haftarah always, b'li yoytzei min haklal, reflects. And you know what the whole Haftarah is about? The Haftarah is the sharpest Haftarah beyond a shadow of a doubt in all of the Haftarahs. And you know what the Haftarah begins about? Mishpat. The beginning of the Haftarah. The Arva l'Hashem min chasidav yishloim, those ties into the parasha. That's not the pasuk I'm looking for. The korafti aleichem la mishpat. Hashem says, I'm coming to judge you. V'yisi eid mimaher, I'm a witness. Hashem is serving here in this pasuk. I'm now going to serve as a shofet. You have shayftim, I have shayftim. It's going to be mida keneged mida. I'm going to be now the witness. I'm going to do to you what you do to other people. You have false witnesses. What you do in avodah zara, b'mechashefim, uvam noafim, in znus, uvam nishbom lashoker, total lies and nonsense and crazy ideas, uve oishke sechar sochir, deny people their entitlement. Almana v'yosayim mateger lo yeruuni omar Hashem tzevokas ki ani Hashem lo yishonisi v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisem. It's really frightening. Over here, look at the Mefarshim. Is Hashem, you want to go pervert mishpat? You want to pervert mishpat? So let's go to court, and I'll be the shayfet. The opening part is, what are you people doing? You're corrupt. You're corrupt to the core. You're corrupt to the core in your mishpat, in the mishpat of how you deal with avodah zara, gili arayis, shvichas damim, in gezel, dinim emoinos, and therefore, now I'm going to turn the tables and I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to start judging you. Wake up. There's no question that there's the coincidence of this mussar, and as it goes on, and okay, we can't do it now. The mindset of what we're dealing with is, look what it says over here. I think I once read Belsky speak about this. What's the mindset of these 1.5 million people? Why do you behave like this? And the truth is, we're not even talking to them, we're talking to ourselves, because if we weren't guilty on the same degree, we're also guilty. Everyone, we're going to blame someone else, blame yourself. We also have a mashu of the same thing. Chosku olai divrechem omar Hashem. This pasuk defines the essence of the attitude of what's going on. V'amartem, your words, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you insulted me very, very much, and I'm hurt, Hashem says. So we say, V'amartem, ma nidbarnu alach, what do we say? I'll tell you what you said. Amartem, shov avoid Elokim. Why do we need to be religious? Who needs this? You know, who needs this? Uma betza. What benefit is there? Ki shamarnu mishmarto. In the eyes of the world, we're going backwards. We're backwards people. What do we need to go do this religion? Shabbos and Shmiras HaMitzvos. This Hashem, you have insulted me. This, we're talking over here with Jews, 7 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael, approximately. And unfortunately, the vast majority are totally not religious. And they're so not religious, they came out to protest that someone will take away.
The vast majority is totally not religious.
What?
It's not true.
You're right.
Okay, I take it back. But someone are religious. And these words define the essence of why a person rejects Yiddishkeit. And the words are, and Hashem says, I'm so hurt. Chosku olai divrecha ma'ashem v'amartem ma'amar melecha. Amartem shov avod Elokim. Go talk to a chiloni. It's worthless. Uma betza. What do you get out of this? Ki shamarnu mishmarto. And these words are even more v'chi holachnu kido ranis v'bnei Hashem tzivokos. In the eyes of the world, we're backwards people. The world is advancing with all these new crazy ideas, go woke and this, all these mishagasim. We have to do the same thing. We should be busy the whole day trying to decide which bathroom to go into.
You don't have to decide, just go
and it's very, very sad. And Hashem goes on to be mechazek and to give musar and speak about Yira Shemayim and to give us brachos and give us hope. Is it a coincidence that this week there was a demonstration of Chosku Olai Divreichem from all the weeks of the year? Bedavka, this week, Mamish, that is what these people have showed the world. Jewish people, everyone was a Jew. Shav, avoid Hashem. And Hashem says, I'm going to take you to Mishpat because of the way you take other people to Mishpat. It's open. If Malachi would be here today, he would say exactly the same words. But yet, it's not all bad. It's not all bad. First of all, it's a Musa to us, because if they're guilty of this, we're also guilty of this. Every person in their mind is a shtickle apikoros. A shtickle. Every person's frustrated. But there's also a hashkocha pratis that this expression of acting out, like a child acting out, happened this week because Malachi says, don't worry. Don't worry, like a child he acts out. He'll grow up. Hine anoichi shaleach lechem esel liyo hanavi. Don't worry. The day will come, Zichru Toiras Moshe Avdi. They'll become religious, they'll become to appreciate, we'll become, halavai, we should become to appreciate. Asher Tzivisa Sabuchai, I'll call you Sholchuk Mishpatim, Hina Nochi Shelch Mesel Yonavil Vayashem, Boashem, Agol Vahanarav, Eshlev Labon Labonim. There is a silver lining of bracha, of haftocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in this difficult month, like, you know, we've sung to the ultimate low. You can't, we've managed to come to the psukim that are right before. In the most blatant way possible. It's not for nothing that's happening Erev Pesach, that this is all coming together. What are the chances? The chances are zero. It's because Imlo Yad Hashem Osis Azois, it's Mamish the Yad Hashem, it's times of Geula. And we just have to prepare, awaken ourselves. Mamish to see the words of the Navi. If he was right, If he was so on target in the beginning, alachas kama v'kama, how on target he is on the end. Of hinei anochi shalech es Eliyahu HaNavi. A time of emes is coming. Eliyahu HaNavi is emes. And Klal Yisrael is going to come to a matzav of very soon of Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, of Eliyahu, and Veheshev Leiv Ovois Albanim, the greatest Baal Teshuva movement is yet to come. Thank you for listening and coming. Have a wonderful Shabbos HaGadol.